Welcome to Healing House with Dr.
Good afternoon and welcome to Healing House Radio. Dr. Eileen is out of the studio again this week. She's on a grand adventure. With us in the studio is her friend, her mentor, her chosen brother, an insightful speaker, and a very funny person, Norbeth Granato. Norbeth?
Well, I can only hope you meant funny in the ha-ha way. Anyways, I want to say hello to everybody out there, and thank you for listening, and for those of you that listen a little later, thank you for just coming in and checking out some of the programming here on the Healing House Radio, and just want to say hello to all of you. So there we go. Why don't we just dive on in on some of the topics that I have for today, and what I was thinking about was one that came to my mind that I thought was, wow, this is kind of an interesting thing. A little bit of an old battle, if you will, because it's been going on for quite a while. But it is the battle of the sexes. Battle of the sexes. We'll just jump right on into that. Are women equal to men? You know? That's always been a big question that is right there. You know, are women equal to men? And the short answer to that is, no, you're not. And I know you, a lot of you are going to get mad at this, but you're not. And I'm gonna say why I'm saying that. We'll get right to that. But here's the thing right there. Okay, first off, ever since this entire revolution, sexual revolution, whatever word we want to use or whatever we want to call it, came about, I have always believed that that has been the wrong question. Are women equal to men? I've always felt that the reverse was true. You know, are men equal to women? You know, I've always felt that was the real question. The idea that women would be equal to men, why would you even ask that question? Why is that even on there? Why is that, what is that all about, you know? We are both so darn different and have so many different ways that we can contribute that this has never been about equality. We not in the sense of being physically equal or anything like that, you know. That's never been what this is about, because since we always came from a point of inequality, and I want to say that again, inequality, that's where we started, that's how we have, that's what we've been going through all these years. We can never ask about equality between the sexes. That is not just childish and silly in a lot of different ways, but it's ignorant. It's not about equality at all. It's about learning to have respect for each other for the gifts that we individually have and how we contribute, and learning to appreciate those different things that we have there. Now, this is not to justify in any way that if I have a female employee or something, and I'm going to pay her less than I am my male or her male counterpart. That's silly. That's just absurd. That is just wrong. That is, you know, that in and of itself is illegal, okay? That's not, and being equally paid and all the rest, that's not the whole question of equality over here. It's not even part of it, you know. The real question of equality over here is, can we be different and still respect each other? Can we hold the positions that we hold and do the things that we do and still appreciate the fact that, you know, there is going to be a difference between us? Huh? And that place right there, that's where it becomes a crucial piece right there. It's that lack of compassion and respect for each other that brings about this inequality that is out there. Yeah. Mm. You know, I have in my life experienced this in so many different ways. As a young person growing up here in California, my parents divorced, so being who we were, we stayed with our mom, and you know, my dear mother had to raise three boys by herself, and I got to see the example of what it is to be in a strong female dominant household back in the time when they used to refer to us as latchkey kids. And having that role model present and seeing what that is like gave me an insight into understanding what it is to be a strong feminine leader. And do I say that is not equal to the men's leadership? No, that's not the point at all. That it's not about them being equal. It's that they're different. a female leadership style is going to look different than a male's leadership style. Mm-hmm. You know, I think one of the important things that men go back to all the time, and certainly I ran into this while I was in the service, you know, is that women are so emotional. Women are so emotional. And you know, something happens and they immediately start crying and then this, that, and the other. And I turned around and I had thought about that, and I've thought about that for many years. And one of the things that comes to my mind that I found interesting about this is that most of the time when men were saying that women were getting emotional, they were very upset. Now, unless I miss my guess here, but being upset, isn't that an emotion? So essentially, or in essence, aren't we saying that women express their emotions differently than men express their emotions, because we're going to express our emotion through anger, intimidation, and all those other kind of ways? Not that women don't do that. They do, you know, but not as readily in most cases. And certainly I saw that in the service, and I saw that in other places. You know, so it is truly learning to appreciate the differences between us. It doesn't make one weaker, one stronger, or anything like that. There's just different ways of contributing, you know, different ways of being. And that's the important piece right there. You know, can we learn to not just accept and tolerate, but to really appreciate and honor each other? Hmm? Can we come from that perspective? Can we come from the perspective of, you know, yes, I know, and I've heard this many times from different employers, you know, about, oh, well, I don't want to hire women because, well, they may get pregnant. You know, wow, that's kind of a hard stance to take right there. Okay, well, if they do get pregnant, and I say they because as far as I'm concerned, when you have that, of course, the men isn't doing the delivering, but you know, the father should be there too. And there's a lack of respect in the United States for that time, you know, for men and women to be able to both take time off to be with their newborn, not just a day or two or whatever, but some real time to really be with your newborn, to really let them to get to know you, to be with you, you know, and that includes the father too, to be there, to be present, to have the time off. But we all know that if you take any time off, you know, especially as a guy from certain jobs, you know, even though it may be in the policies, it may be right there in the rules and say, hey, you can do this, but you know, they're going to look at you funny. And so in that sense, there's an inequality that is there that exists, because we can extend that courtesy to mom, but we won't extend that courtesy to dad. And if we do extend it and he does accept it, then we're certainly going to hold that back against him when it comes time for promotion, aren't we? A double standard that is right there. But conversely, you know, we also see the times, and I just talked about that just a minute ago, is just where women are just as capable and just as knowledgeable, and in some cases even more capable and more knowledgeable, and they get into a job and they're not getting paid as equally as their male counterparts being paid. Now, what's that all about, you know? Do we not appreciate them? Do we not care about the work that they're giving? Do we really look at this and say, well, you know what, this is a woman, so therefore she is valued less than her male counterpart? That's simple silliness that is left over from the 19th century, somehow crawled up into the 20th, and still showing its nasty little head here in the 21st century. What kind of craziness is that, right? I know you all agree with that. So to me, you know, it's not about who is equal and who's not equal and all the rest of that, and are women equal to men? You know, why don't we just turn that question around, like I said a little bit earlier, you know, are men equal to women? I think it would piss off a lot of folks, wouldn't it? Oh, yes, let's have some fun with this. Absolutely, folks, here we go. Hey, listen, let me move on to another topic. And by the way, for those of you that are out there that want to talk about this or you want to bring up another topic, you're welcome to do so. And I'm happy to chit-chat with you a little bit if you'd like, so we can bring that up. Yeah, here we go. So the other topic that I wanted to touch upon was sacredness. And specifically, what is sacred? You know, and this kind of goes into alignment with what I was talking about inequality. What is and what is not sacred? That's always been an interesting question that has been thrown my way on many occasions. And people would say, "Hey, Norbeth, you know, how do you define something that is sacred? How do you know that this or that or the other thing is and is not sacred?" Well, I had my teacher once. In fact, one of them always said that everything is sacred, you know. And, of course, like annoying students that we can be, we would always turn around and we would say, well, then, is my car sacred? And this individual would say, yes. Is the leaf sacred? Yes, a leaf is sacred. And you know, so we're kind of looking at him. We're saying, so then what defines sacred and what doesn't, you know? And he would look and he would say, all of you. You decide what is sacred and what is not sacred. We decide, you know, with our own decision, with the way we look at things, with the way we work at things. Now, does that mean that every single thing that I touch is sacred? No, gosh, no, absolutely not. Some things are just plain helpful. Other things are just annoying. My cell phone, many times I had to think of that as just plain annoying. I don't think of that as sacred. You know, but some of the person may hold that in a different way. I don't know. You know, it's just an important piece right there of understanding the sacredness in everything that we see. Not that everything that we see is sacred, but understanding that it is, and understanding that everything has that potentiality to be sacred. Well, does it have to have life for it to be sacred? Well, I don't know. In a Native American tradition, they use a lot of feathers and things of that nature in order to be able to smudge, in order to be able to do blessings and things, you know. So is that feather still alive? Well, technically, no, it's not. It's detached from the bird, so therefore it is not. However, it had life at one time, so is that enough to make that a sacred item? Well, I think that a feather can be just a feather, of course. But if you're taking a feather and you're using it in a sacred way, and you have that intention behind it, then that in and of itself makes that item sacred, right? Mm-hmm. You know? And I've talked to in fact, I have friends that I've talked to, and one in particular who is, well, very much an atheist, but he keeps a Bible. And I thought that was the funniest thing, and I'd asked this individual about that, and I said, hey, you know, I know you're an atheist, and I see that you have a Bible there. He said, what is that book to you? I mean, why would you keep that over there? And it's a sacred book. He says, no, it's just a book. It's not sacred. To me, it's just a book, he says. And to me, that's a sacred book, not necessarily because, you know, I follow a Christian tradition or anything, but because so many other people have really, you know, said, hey, this is sacred to them, you know. So I respect that and I honor that other traditions hold it that way, you know. So therefore, it is sacred. But to this individual, even though, you know, I hold it the way I hold it, and many of you will hold the way you hold it, but to him, that was just a book, an informational study. You know, something that he could reference when somebody was bringing out a chapter or verse or something, and he could use it as a reference in that manner, to either check or verify whatever he was doing with that. So just because something is sacred to me or to anyone else doesn't mean that it's sacred to all of us. Isn't that something, huh? When that is the way it is, isn't it? It is so hard to get everyone to agree on what is and what is not sacred, and you know, just coming to an understanding of what that means can be so difficult. Anytime we have more than one person in the room, of course, you know, we're always going to have some differences. Well, and regardless of whether you're both from the same training or you're both from, you know, similar training or whatever it may be, backgrounds and so forth and so on, we're always going to hold different opinions about different things. You know, one of the things that I work with is I work with sacred soils in many of the works that I do. And these soils are used for blessings. These soils are used for clearings. They're used for in many different ways that I have them there. And so to me, they're very, very sacred. You know? And so these soils are collected from different places around the planet that I have accumulated and I have taken care of. And I shouldn't say the planet, because that might get me in trouble, but around the United States, you know, mostly around the United States, different locations there that I have gotten these from. And the point that I wanted to make is that, you know, for me, when I've gone to some of these sacred sites and I've collected these soils and have brought them home to be used in this way and stuff, to me, that was a very sacred thing, and it still is a very sacred thing. And to other people, it's like, well, Norbus, that's just dirt. And so I'm going to laugh a little bit about that, because I can see their perspective. You know, yeah, absolutely, it is the earth. You know, it is, as you said, dirt. And so they're going to look kind of funny at me when you don't have the kind of understanding that I have or the perspective that I have about that. But it could easily go in the other direction too, right? How many times have we seen something and maybe we said something and we weren't thinking about it and we just turn around and we say, well, that's not really sacred. And the person that we're talking to takes offense to that, you know, instead of taking a laugh about it and just, you know, it's no big deal. They take it very personal, you know, and then they get very, very upset about that, you know. And then understanding the sacredness in all things also goes back into this thing about inequality between men and women, you know, because if we could see each other as being sacred and divine and treat each other as sacred and divine, we wouldn't have had that problem in the first place, would we? We can understand completely that each and every one of us has a sacred duty to perform while we're here on this beautiful planet Earth. Isn't that true? We all have a sacred duty that we're going to be performing while we are here. Now, some of us are going to be rock stars and singers and actors and politicians and lawyers and doctors and all those other kinds of things, you know? Some of us are here just to be in service to everybody else. Well, yeah. Help a few folks out, you know, when we can. Do the best that we can while we're at it. Others of us are here, you know, spend an entire lifetime just lost trying to figure it out. We never do figure it out, you know? We just keep jumping from one thing to another, just trying to look for what is it? What am I? What am I about? Why am I here? We keep asking those same questions. And part of that that I see that is missing is missing that piece of understanding sacredness, you see? When you can understand that this is sacred, that this life that you have is sacred, that everything around us has the potentiality to be treated as sacred, then we can start looking at all things, all beings, including beings not even from this planet. You know, if this whole thing about UFOs and all of that, and you hold that to be true, then could they not be sacred beings as well? Could we all not be connected in some way? All of us? You know, whether we know them, whether we don't know them? Could the aliens have actually been, well, I don't know, the angels? I don't know. But I will tell you that if we did treat things a little bit with a little more sacredness, a little more compassion, we wouldn't be having the problems that we have with the relations in our lives, especially misunderstanding the relationship that concerns the sexual revolution. Probably wouldn't have even had to have one. It is so unfortunate that we have this, living in this time where so many different classes of people, whether you're gay and lesbian or male and female or black and white or whatever it may be, and certain classifications are always getting, well, you know, disrespected or not appreciated in the best way that they could be, you know? I think everybody on this planet has something that they bring to the table that's important for all of us to check out. I think that every one of you out there has a gift. Now, whether you discovered your gift or not, that's not the point. I believe you got a gift. All of you do. It's a matter of uncovering it. It's a matter of looking for it. It's a matter of looking in and understanding that you are a sacred and divine being. You are sacred. All of you are. And you deserve to treat yourselves better than you do. You really do. This is something that I've repeated, a theme that I have in many of my discussions that I've had, not just on the radio here with the Healing House Radio, but also in my classes that I've taught in the past. One of the things that I have noticed more often than not, it's a constant theme here, is that we don't treat ourselves as sacred. We don't. Well, we overwork ourselves, we undersleep, we overeat, we have terrible diets. We know better. We know what we got to do to keep ourselves and our bodies fit and in a good way and keep ourselves strong, but do we do it? No, we don't do it. We don't. We just kind of skip on it, you know? Heck, I'm guilty of that one myself. So I got to start looking at my temple as being sacred and being a place where I can come from and, well, you know, just kind of look at everybody else in the same way too. Anyways, you know, I really wanted to cover that, and at the same time here, I got a little bit distracted because somebody's trying to write me something on here, and I'm trying to read it, but my font's really tiny, and I can't see. But it looks like Eileen has landed, and she's going home, so I guess you'll be talking with her next week. Yay! And yeah, that's a good thing. So you'll be having Dr. Eileen back next week, and you won't have to put up with my clumsiness on this radio show. Trying to get through it just the best I can, folks. Just doing the best I can for you, you know. Listen, really quickly, I want to get back over to what I was talking about with sacredness over here. And I just really want to encourage all of you to develop a practice that is going to be treating you, yourself, in the best way possible. Now, I can't tell you what that practice is for you. There's no way I can do that. I don't know you. I haven't met you all out there yet. Love to. Love to meet with you. I'd love to talk with you guys if you'd like to sometime. You can get a hold of me through Eileen if you'd like. But the important thing here is that you yourself, in your body, you know what you need. You do. You really do. You know, just check in with yourself. Look in yourself. You know, treat yourself as that sacred being. And it's also important, you know, don't allow others to treat you any less than that. You know? Don't allow other people to define what you are. Don't let them put you in a little bitty box, because people will do that, my friends. They really will. You know, lock you in there, and next thing you know, you're a character actor. And that's not what it is. You're the stars of your own performance, and your performance is your life. You see? So you might as well have a sacred, beautiful, big life, as big as you possibly can have it. Whatever that means to you individually, you know? If you're going to go and do something for other people, then do the best you possibly can to make that a wonderful outcome for them. If you're going to do something for yourself, then do the best you can to make it wonderful for you. You know, take yourself on as a project. Decide that you are better than what other people think, that you are better than what you even think, and that you deserve to be treated the best you possibly can. When you start looking at yourself as a sacred being, and you start thinking from the mindset that, you know what, this is my temple, this body is my temple, I am a sacred being, I'm having a human experience. And that being true, this sacred being having a human experience should also be pampered and taken care of from time to time as well. So take the time to go and do something wonderful for yourself. Take the time to be able to really enjoy your life, folks. You know? I'm sure you've heard this before, and I'm going to say it again, that this is not a dress rehearsal, people. This is the real thing. This is life. So take some time, smell the roses, look around, and even if you can only do that for 2 minutes out of your entire day, 1 minute out of your day, whatever, then take that 1 minute, that 2 minutes, that 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and do something for you, you know? Give yourself a gift. Do those things that you know are good for you. Mm-hmm. No? And if that includes, you know, exercise, or maybe it's reading a book, or maybe it's going out and getting a massage, or going to a spa, or, you know, maybe it's going out, hanging out with the guys and playing a game of baseball or something. Hey, whatever it is that you enjoy, that you like, you know, maybe you get together with your family, you know, and or other friends, and you go and see a show, or you go and see a hockey game, or whatever it is that you want to go and do. Treat yourself to that. Treat yourself to that. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if nobody's told you before, you deserve it. You really do. You know, you got to treat yourselves better, much better. All of us do. This life is too short to be going through all this pain and suffering and everything that we have to go through on our daily busy lives, that we don't take the time to take care of ourselves makes this life unappreciable. So if you cannot appreciate the life that you have because you're so busy, you're so overworked, you're so tired, and all the rest of it, you're just going to wipe yourself out. You know that. I know that. And I know we all get busy. I know we do. I know there's a lot of things that we do out there that just really holds us in a place of not just being busy, but, you know, it's like busy work. It's not even really important stuff, you know. is the little the run over here to the store for this, the little run over there, all those other kinds of stuff, little busy things that chomp away at your time, just chew away at your time. Well, I'm going to tell you what, your time is precious. Your time on this planet is very precious. And whether you're here for 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, 100 years, doesn't matter. It is short. So take the time to appreciate yourself. Mm-hmm. Take your time to forgive others for their ignorance, especially when it comes to these insanities like equality and stuff like that, you know. Forgive them. Let it go. Move on. Treat yourself better. Some people are never going to get it. And by people, in this particular case, I mean men. They're just never going to get it. They're never going to understand why this is such a stupid thing. That equality begins first with me. Now, this is part of the problem right there. You know, when I asked the original question, are women equal to men? And I said, no, they're not. They're not equal to men. And why is that? Because it's very hard for a man to be equal to a woman. First off, you know we don't give birth, you know. We all know that when it comes to multitasking, every test has ever shown we as men, we just don't have it. And so forth and so on. Now, there are other areas where, of course, you know, we may be, you know, a little bit better, you know, better upper body strength development, things of that nature, so forth and so on. Apparently, we're also more quiet than women. I read that in a report a couple of weeks ago. I just cracked up because I kind of know myself. I can't imagine being quieter. But, you know, apparently on the average we are. So, you know, there's always these different gives and takes between the sexes, you know. Just learn to forgive each other and appreciate each other for what we do offer, for what we do have, you know. It's sort of like we have to learn to love what is. Quit worrying about trying to change things to what we want and appreciate for what we have. And always, I'm not saying don't strive for, you do strive. You do strive to improve. You do strive to make things better. But don't make yourselves crazy when people don't meet the expectations that you have, because maybe people don't have the ability to reach the expectations that you have. Because they haven't been taught it, because they haven't learned it, because they just can't do it physically, emotionally, whatever it may be. So appreciate them for what they are and what they do bring to the table. You know? In other words, what I'm trying to tell you here is learn to love each other more and accept the differences between all of us and let it go. Let it go. And go on from there. Mm-hmm. If you're surrounding yourself with people that are constantly, you know, putting you in that little, what do you call it, little pigeonhole kind of place, well, maybe it's time you start looking at getting yourself some different friends, my friends. Maybe start looking around and seeing who are really your allies in this life, in this walk, and surrounding yourself with people that really want to be with you, really want to take care of you. So what am I saying in essence about all of this? Well, in essence, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying learn to take care of yourselves. Learn to take care of yourselves. Learn to take care of others that you love and you care about. Be open-minded about other things that are going on in the world out there. You know, walk gently on this planet Earth, as gently as you can. And appreciate the fact that there are others that are out there that are just not going to be able to do that. You know, doesn't mean that we don't call it on them. We definitely call them on it. And we do the best we can to say, hey, you got to feel better. But it all begins with me. It begins with me first. First, I need to look at myself in a sacred manner. I need to accept the fact that I'm a divine being having a human experience. And that I walk on this planet with up to 10 billion people along with me. And that somehow, some way, we are all truly just one. One race, one people, all together on this planet, all trying to figure it all out. So, in closing, my friends, be kind to yourselves. Call a dear friend or call a family member. Call somebody you haven't called in a long time and wish them well and hug more and take care of each other and be kinder to yourself. God bless. Take care. Goodbye now.